All right, good morning. Man, I'm excited to be here with you this morning. I'm just returning from a study break that I just took at the end of the year, and I enjoyed hearing Wayne Sullivan speak last week, and I got to watch some of Justin Norden's sermon from the previous week, but I'm glad to be here and be in the Lord's house today and be able to speak to you today. Now, we're going to launch a new series today, and I think that it's often this time of the year that we kind of look back at what happened in the previous year, and we think, I wonder how we could live differently in this next year. Now, I don't know what happened to you last year. Maybe some things went poorly. Maybe some things went great. I don't know. But I know this, that regardless of what happens, for those of us that are believers, that God has a purpose for your life. And do you know what that purpose is? Do you ever wonder, what in the world are you up to, God? You ever think about that? Like, God, I don't know how that one worked into my life. But here's his purpose. Let me clue you in. God's purpose is to make you more like Jesus. That's what God's up to. That's his purpose. He wants you to grow more like Jesus. And so for the next 5 weeks, that's what we're going to talk about. He wants you to grow more like Jesus. And when I'm on my study break, I'll start thinking about, well, how am I doing? You know, what happened in my life this past year? And what, you know, and I'll actually pull out this passage that we're going to study in just a minute, Luke 2:52, and I'll look at it and I'll go, well, Lord, help, you know, Holy Spirit, evaluate me and show me where I can lean in to your work in my life more. And then I start thinking, because I'm a pastor, I start thinking, well, how's the church doing? How are we doing, people? You know, like that. And how am I doing as a leader, as a pastor? And I think about, well, what did he tell us to do? And he says, well, the church is to go, therefore, and do what? Make disciples. And I start thinking, are we making disciples? And you know, looking back on the year, I start thinking, like I was saying, you know, in what way is God going to work this stuff out? Well, look at Romans chapter 8. This is a verse that a lot of you may have memorized. It might be a favorite verse for you, but it says this, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. He's going to cause everything to work out according to his purpose. Now, well, what's his purpose? Well, the next verse says, for God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn with many brothers and sisters. So that's what God's purpose is. God's purpose is to make you like Jesus, and he will cause everything, believer, listen, he will cause everything in your life to work together towards that good. Not towards the good you think's good, but towards the good that would make you more like Jesus. You see, God's more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. He wants to make you like Christ. Now, some of you here today, in 2012, you're happy to turn the page on that one. I don't know how it went for you last year. You may have lost someone you love. Our family lost a loved one this past year. We lost a little baby this past year. You may have experienced birth, the opposite. We experienced that too. There's always this mixture. You may have had a marriage that failed last year, and you're still brokenhearted about it. You may have lost a job, and you're still looking for one. You're looking at 2012, and you're just like, I don't even want to think about 2012. Let's get 2013 going, because I'd like to move forward. Others had great things happen last year, but here's the thing I want you to hear, that for those of us who love Christ and are following him, who have answered the call to follow Jesus, nothing touches us unless it first passes through the hands of God. And everything he allows to touch us, he promises he will cause it to work together for the good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And what's his purpose? He's making us grow more like Jesus. Now, here's the thing I want to talk about during this series. How could we cooperate with that process? I mean, how could we make it so that we're leaning into it instead of leaning away from that process that God wants to work in our lives? And so today's the introduction to that. And I want you to think of today as kind of like a pretest. We're going to check the pulse today and see how we're doing. We'll kind of look at it. Okay? So get ready. Put your seatbelts on. I've had 2 weeks off, and I don't know if I can get it all in. You know, somebody told me, you need to save some from next week. Well, I'll try. Luke 2:52. We're just going to look at this one verse. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. Amen? So Jesus grew. Let's look at this. Here's your first principle. Healthy things grow. Underlining the text, Jesus grew. And his invitation to us today is to come follow me. Come follow with me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you believers, but you got to follow me. So if you're following Jesus, what's Jesus? What happened to him? Well, he grew. If you're going to follow him, what are you going to do? You're going to grow. Because healthy things grow. You know, my wife, she likes to save significant flowers. If I gave her a flower when we were dating, it's probably in one of her older Bibles or some book, and she has pressed it in there. Now, if you pull it out, it does not look like the original that I gave her. You pull it out, first of all, it's flat. She's pressed it in a book. It doesn't smell like it originally did. It's not really living anymore. She's dried it and saved it, and you can still look at it. But it's pretty brittle and fragile. But if it were still alive, it'd still be growing. You see, you don't see anything in life that just stays the same. It either grows or it gets stagnant and declines. Healthy things grow. And healthy Christ followers grow like Jesus grew. Are you growing? Are you growing more like Jesus? That word in the Greek, the verb grew, has the idea of to advance, to move forward, to grow, to mature, to grow up. Are you maturing? Are you growing up? How long have you been a Christ follower? A year? 5, 10, 20? Are you growing more like Jesus? The book of Ephesians chapter 4 says, instead we will hold to the truth in love, becoming more and more in every way like Christ. So that the whole body is what? Healthy and growing and full of love. Are you growing more like Jesus? Healthy, because healthy things grow. 1 Corinthians warns us, though, Paul writes to the church at Corinth because he had a group of Christians that weren't growing. Listen to what he says to them. He says, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to mature Christians. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in the Christian life. I had to feed you with milk and not with solid food because you couldn't handle anything stronger and you still aren't ready. How many spiritual babies we got in the house? Still sucking your spiritual thumbs. Time to grow up. That's what Paul says. Paul says, listen, you need to grow up. Now, some years ago, a Christian artist named Amy Grant wrote a little song. It's called Fat Baby. Listen to these lyrics. And I hope it's not you that she was singing to. I know a man, maybe you know him too. You never can tell, he might even be you. He knelt at the altar and that was the end. He's saved and that's all that matters to him. His spiritual tummy, it can't take too much. One day a week he gets a spiritual lunch. On Sunday he puts on his spiritual best and gives his language a spiritual rest. He's just a fat little baby, wah, wah, wah. He wants his bottle and he don't mean maybe. He sampled solid foods once or twice, but he says doctrine leaves him cold as ice. He's baptized, sanctified, redeemed by the blood, but his daily devotions are stuck in the mud. He knows the books of the Bible in John 3:16. He's got the biggest King James you ever seen, but he's just a fat little baby. He wants his bottle, and he don't mean maybe. He samples solid foods once or twice, but he says doctrine really just leaves him cold as ice. I've always wondered if he'll grow up someday. He's a mama's boy and he likes it that way. If you happen to see him, tell him I said, he'll never grow if he never gets fed. Now listen, we all love babies. Babies are cute. Last night, my eldest granddaughter, I've got two now, Cadence turned 3. When I came in, she was wearing a little dress and she had a little flowery badge on and there was happy birthday stuff all over the house. Now she was cute, man. And she knows it. And then my other son and his wife came in and brought my youngest granddaughter. She's 7 months old. And she is as cute as a button. Now, she can't do anything except cry and fill a diaper. That's all she does. And eat. I've left that out. But boy, is she cute. But 10 years from now, if she can't eat on her own, if she can't walk, if she can't talk, that's not cute anymore, is it? It's not cute anymore. So some of us are here today, and you just started this journey of following Jesus, and Jesus is just the sweetest thing to you, and you're learning every day is a new day, and it's great. But some of you have stagnated in your Christian walk, and you've been a believer a long time, and you're not growing, and it's not cute anymore. You need to get serious. And today's the day to make a decision about it, to get serious about growing up more like Jesus. He wants to do a work in your life. He wants you to grow. Stop putting it off. I want to give you an opportunity to ask the Holy Spirit to evaluate you in four areas. And I want you to look at these four areas that Jesus grew in, and I want you to ask yourself these four questions to see if you're growing in these same four areas. And you might call these the four B's. Someone told me after the first service, it's like taking your B vitamins. They help you grow. I told him you should have told me that before the first service. I could have used that. Are you growing more like Jesus in believing? Are you growing more like Jesus in your believing? Notice that Jesus grew in wisdom. He grew in wisdom. He grew mentally. He grew, the Greek word there is Sophia. He grew in wisdom. Now, here's what wisdom is. Wisdom is the combination of knowledge and understanding so that it is knowledge rightly applied. It's not book knowledge. It's knowledge plus the understanding to know where to put it, where to apply that knowledge. Jesus was growing in that area. Are you growing in your believing? Is your believing increasing? Jesus grew in that area. It says in the book of Hebrews, so let us stop going over the basics of Christianity again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Now, someone might be here today and you're still circling the airport of believing. You're like, I'm not quite ready. I'm not quite ready. I'm not sure if I believe. Land the plane. Come on in. And say yes. And you can pray like this. You can pray like the man in the Bible prayed. Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. Get started today in your believing. Grow in your wisdom. Grow in your decision to believe today. In Colossians it says, and this is Paul talking to the church at Colossae and refers to one of his co-workers, Epaphras. He says, Epaphras is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and what? Fully assured. Maybe there's a believer here today and you're struggling with doubt of your salvation. You know, I think I'm a believer, but you probably have a sin area that's still haunting you, and you still haven't gotten victory over, and every time it crops back up, maybe it's an addiction, or maybe it's some, every time it crops back up, it causes you to doubt your faith again. But do you hear what Paul's saying? I want you to be mature and fully assured, not partially assured. I want you to have full belief so that your believing is firm. I want you to grow up. Stop doubting. Believe. How do we do this? How do we grow in this believing? Well, there's a couple of insights from Scripture. Proverbs chapter 9 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's a good starting place. The fear of the Lord is a good starting place to get wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when I say the fear of the Lord, I don't mean like I'm scared of a monster, kind of like I'm afraid. Not so much that. More like, you fear his displeasure. I'm the eldest of four children. My father died before he turned 40, and I had just turned 8. He passed away. He died of cancer. We used to have this little thing. He'd say, whose boy are you? And I'd say, I'm daddy's boy. He says, right. Give me a little punch. I'm a daddy's boy. Like that. Somebody just met us. They say, who's the little brown-eyed boy? Because I was the only one. There was four of us. My dad had brown eyes. My mom had green. And I was the only one that got the brown eyes. And they say, who's the little brown-eyed boy? That's my son. Daddy's boy. Got brown eyes like my daddy. Like that. Now, they had different styles of discipline, my mom and dad. Now, my mom, There might have been a couple of years in my life where she spanked me every day. I needed it, I'm sure. I was that kid. And I would not cry. And my mom had a rule. It was not written down anywhere, but we all knew it. I'm going to spank you until you cry, and then I'm going to spank you until you shut up. I told you that's enough. Now, my brother, Barry, 4 years younger than me, he had this thing down to an art. The minute she pulled out the switch, anybody know what a switch is? Anybody, can I get a witness? You know what a switch is? She kept it on top of the refrigerator. She made you go get it yourself. Came out of a maple tree. She called it a keen switch, which meant it made the sound of Zorro's sword when you moved it, like that. Know what I'm talking about? Can I get a witness? Yeah? Okay. Now, my brother Barry, as soon as she would reach for the refrigerator, he'd start crying. And before she could even get the first lick in, he was boo-hooing and repenting, and he'd get like one, and then he'd shut it down, man. She'd say, "Now, that's enough," and he'd shut it down, and he would look at me with a little grin on his face. I was not like that. I would not cry. She would spank me. Boy, you are so stubborn. But my dad, I cannot remember him ever spanking me. But I remember two occasions where he took me by the shoulders and looked me in the eye and said, "Son, I'm really disappointed in you right now." And I cried like a baby. What in the world? I feared his displeasure. Wisdom begins with an awareness that God is creator and father over all, and a fear of not doing what he said. That's the beginning of wisdom. That's where it starts. And then he says, and knowledge of this Lord, of this Holy One, is insight. You want to grow more like Jesus in wisdom? Get to know the Father better and better and better all the time. 1 Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. How do you gain this knowledge? You see, this book, it's about us. It will tell you your identity, and it will tell you how you got here and what, you know, about the creation and about the future. But it isn't really primarily about you and me. It's primarily about God. This book is primarily a revelation to tell you about God. And if you want to grow in wisdom and insight, more like Jesus, then you'll lean into this book and you'll get to know God better and you'll grow. And He'll give you a desire, like a newborn babe, for this. James says, if anybody lacks wisdom, he should ask God. That's a good one there, isn't it? You want to grow in wisdom? Pray. Ask God to help you grow up in your believing. Now, did you see on your notes, get your notes out. Did you see that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 little thing there at the end of that? You know what that's going to be for? Let me tell you. I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and I want you to evaluate. Now, don't look at the person next to you. Put your hand there. Don't let anybody see, because this is between you and the Lord. This has not got anything to do with that neighbor next to you, that nosy neighbor, okay? And I'm going to ask you how you're doing in growing more like Jesus in your wisdom, in your believing. And if you circle a 1, that means not doing good at all. I'm not reading the Bible. I'm not praying. I'm not doing good at all. And 2 is a little better than not good at all. And 3, 4, I'm growing. I'm starting to grow. And 5 is I'm pretty satisfied. The Holy Spirit's not really causing me to feel like I need to repent here, that this seems to be a place where I really am growing. So I'm going to give you a couple more questions on this, and I want you to really take this seriously. Do you have assurance of salvation? Are you growing in knowledge and understanding of God's Word? Are you learning to apply it to the circumstances of your life? Are you a serious student of God's Word, and are you getting to know Him better and better all the time? How are you doing and you believing? Scale of 1 to 5, circle 1. Nobody, you're not going to have to turn this in. We're asking the Holy Spirit to examine us. Here's 2. Are you growing more like Jesus in your believing? Are you growing more like Him in your behaving? If the first is mental growth, the second is physical. He grew in stature, the scripture says. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. The Greek word for stature here could be translated in size or in years. He grew in maturity. He grew up. He grew in stature. He grew physically. The book of Ephesians talks about the way that we're saved, and it's nothing that we can brag about. It says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no man should boast. So we can't work for salvation. He gives it to us. But then we often forget verse 10. That's verse Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. But verse 10 says, for we are God's what? Workmanship. The Greek word there is poema. We are God's piece of art. We're His poem that He's writing. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works. So, don't get the cart ahead of the horse. The horse that pulls this cart is that He saves us. We can't work for it. There's no way to earn salvation. But having been saved, we begin to behave like we're saved. Is that clear? You can't behave yourself into being saved, because you'll never be good enough. But you can, after being saved, it will affect your physical life. It will affect your behavior. Things will begin to change. Now, not immediately. Or maybe immediately in some areas, but it'll be a mixture. This one area will grow quick, and this area kind of feels stuck. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, there's one area, boy, I just feel like it's the thorn in the flesh, like Paul talked about. I just can't seem to grow in this one area. But you keep asking God to work on your behavior, that you begin to act more like Jesus. In Luke chapter 8, it talks about the four soils. And Jesus tells this parable of the four soils, and He says there was a farmer. Now, this is one crazy farmer, by the way. I don't know if anybody knows anything about agriculture, but I've never heard of a farmer like this. I used to spend the summers on my grandfather's farm, and seed is expensive. And he'd say, now, you know, let's till the soil, and let's do this, and let's get this ready, and we get the soil all ready. And then he'd say, now, drop two or three seeds in each spot, you know. He was careful. But this crazy farmer, in this parable that Jesus tells, he's slinging seed everywhere. He's slinging seed like he's got it, you know, infinite amount of seed. And he throws it up on the road. He throws it in the weeds. He throws it everywhere. Throws it up in the rocks. And some of it happens to land on good soil too. Do you know that story? The four soils? And Jesus says, the stuff that got thrown up on the path, the birds picked it up. Never even penetrated. They picked it up and ate it and flew away. And the ones that fell on the rocks, He says, it grew up quick because the soil was hot there, but it was so shallow that it didn't grow any roots. The first storm came and blew it away. And some of it fell in weeds, and it started growing, but the weeds choked it out, and it didn't grow, but some of it landed on good soil. You know that story, right? So let's cut to what the disciples asked. The disciple says, well, what's that mean? What's the meaning of that story, Lord? What's that story mean? Luke chapter 8, 11 through 15. This is the meaning of the story. The seed is God's message. The seed is God's word. The seed that fell on the hard path represents those who hear the message, but then the devil comes and steals it away and prevents them from believing and being saved. So some are here today, even today, whose heart is calloused and hard, and the word of God is bouncing off. There's a second category, verse 13. The rocky soil represents those who hear the message with joy, but like young plants in such soil, their roots don't grow very deep. They believe for a while, but they wilt when the hot winds of testing blow. And so some are here today, and that's, you've gone through some difficulties, and you're blaming God for it, and you're mad, and you're stuck in your growth. You're not believing. You're not growing in your believing. Verse 14 says, then there's thorny ground. It represents those who hear and accept the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And so they, now underline this, never grow into maturity. Maybe that's you today. The physical cares of this life, the distractions, that's where you're spending all of, and it's affecting your growth, and you're behaving more like the world than like a Christ follower. You're not growing up in these areas. And then, of course, there's the good soil that produces, accepts God's word and grows. Now look at that scale, 1 to 5. I want you to think about your behavior. This is the physical realm. This involves your appetites, your desires, your addictions, your habits. When you consider your behavior, are you experiencing greater control over your appetites as you grow and follow Jesus? Is He giving you victory over areas that used to really own you? How are you doing in the area of losing your temper? Is God starting to give you self-control so that you don't lose your temper like you used to do? People that are following Jesus more and more have increasing control over their anger. What about your tongue? Is God giving you more and more control over your tongue? And those two are usually connected. You lose your temper, then you lose your testimony. All of a sudden, you start speaking French. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, but I'm mad. And that's the excuse you've always made, but that's a sin. And it's not following Jesus, and you need to give Him your anger. Give Him your tongue and ask Him to change you. He gives all of us these three T's. We talk about it: time, talent, and treasure. And are you developing, are you breaking old habits, or finding more and more victory over old habits, and are you getting new habits so that you're becoming more like God, so that you're becoming a giver and not a taker, and that you honor God with the first fruits of your wealth, and so you have a habit of being a giver and a servant, and you're God's workmanship, and you're starting to do the works of the kingdom. Are you seeing, on a scale of 1 to 5, how's that going? Are you growing in the way that you're acting more as Jesus would have you act? Number 3, Jesus grew in wisdom, He grew in stature, and then He grew in favor with God. Number 3, in becoming. Are you growing more like Jesus in your becoming? Becoming. He grew in favor with God. The Greek word for favor is the Greek word charis. Anybody here named Charis? Got a Charis in the house? We had one or two in the first service. Your name means favor. It means grace. It means gift. It means blessing. Jesus grew in His spiritual giftedness, he grew in His favor, in His gifting spiritually. So Jesus grew mentally, physically, spiritually. He grew spiritually. See, we're talking about health in a holistic way. We're not talking about just physical health. We're talking about the kind of healthy living that lasts for eternity. He grew spiritually. He grew in favor with charis, with God. Now, I thought about this moment in the service. I was kind of thinking, as I was thinking through how I would communicate this, I thought, about at this point, you'd probably need a timeout. A place where I could encourage you a little bit. Because this is a tough test. It's a hard test that we're taking. Philippians 1, verse 6. Listen to this. And I'm sure that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finished on that day when Christ Jesus comes back again. Did you get that? Paul was sure, he was confident, that God would finish the work of making you like Jesus. He'd get it done. He would complete it in your life. He didn't say he was confident that you'd get it done. He was confident that God would get it done in you. Well, Gary, why don't we just lay back and let God do it? Because you don't want to take too many remedial courses, friend. I don't know. Have you ever been to have to go back and take that course over again? Like, I need to teach you about being faithful in finances. And how does He teach you to be faithful in finances? Anybody know how that test goes? I need to teach you about trusting Me through a season of a health challenge. Anybody know how that test goes? I need to trust you. I need to put you in a season of loneliness where you don't have anybody. So you go through a season of loneliness. I could go on. Look, let me tell you something. He's making you more like Jesus. And if you want to be part of that, I'd rather lean into it and cooperate and yield and say, Lord, I agree with you. I want you to make me more like Jesus and trust him rather than kicking against it and fighting him, believer, and have to keep taking the same course over year after year. But he's going to finish it. So don't think it's you that's going to do it, but it is you who can cooperate by following. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Somebody out there getting that, what I'm talking about? In becoming, he's doing it. Now, what would it look like? Now, if the first one is about our believing and the second one is about our behaving, it's physical, it's seeing, this is more inner than any of them. Spiritual, it's about character. It's about what kind of character. It's not so much about your doing as it is what you are becoming. Now, Galatians gives us one of the best pictures of what it looks like when someone's character starts looking like the character of Christ. And it's nine seeds in one apple. Notice it's not the fruits of the Spirit, plural. It's the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. And within the fruit are nine seeds, if you will. Love, and it's three triads of threes, right? It's beautiful. Love, joy, peace, right? Like that. And when you look at that, when you look at those, love, joy, peace, and you look at patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, when you look at those, are you experiencing ongoing growth in those character traits? And I would add a tenth, hope. Because over there in 1 Corinthians, Paul says that these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And so I would add hope, and that gives you a good 10, right? Right there. So just kind of think about, are these characters, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and hope, are these traits increasing in you? Now, it's hard to look in the mirror yourself on this. Let me tell you something, and this is a terrifying proposal, but I'm going to offer it to you, and some of you will be brave enough to attempt it. Over lunch today, take your notes with you and ask your spouse to tell you which one of those traits they see most prevalent in you. And that'll be a good feel-good moment for you. Enjoy it. And then ask them the terrifying question, which one do you see least in me? And then if you really want to sharpen the pencil on this one, ask your kids to tell you. Some years ago, I was preaching through Galatians. My kids were old enough to sit in church, so I couldn't get out of it. And I did the same challenge to the congregation. Then we get home, and the kids were sitting at the lunch table with bated breath. Like, when you going to ask us, Dad? And they decided to get Robin first. I was relieved. And they said, Mom, we see love in you. And I was like, yeah, that's good. That's good. They're buttering Mom up. That's good. And Mom, you know, you're so kind. Kindness is in you. And you're so patient with us. I'm like, wow, you're taking it a little far now. I mean, I think, come on, tell her something. I knew I was next. And they said, but Mom, maybe peace. Because you always work so hard. And it just seems like you're kind of, you know, you don't take time, and maybe a little bit more joy. Maybe you don't take enough time to enjoy. And Robin got tears in her eyes. And she said, you kids are right. Then they looked at me. And they said, well, Dad, we see love in you too, just not like Mom. And I said, well, good. I don't want all syrupy love like your mom has. More manly love. And they said, we see joy in you too. You're a lot of fun to be with. But Dad, here it comes. We don't see a lot of patience in you. You're not very patient. And they were right. Now, they told me that because they love me. And they got little quivery lips when they were telling me because they didn't want to hurt my feelings. But they were right. And listen, I hope that you care about this. That you want to grow so that your character, I don't know what your retirement plan as you get older is. I don't know what kind of an old man or an old woman you want to be. But whatever you will be starts now. Because as you get older, you just become more and more of what you really are. Did you hear that? Whatever kind of facial expression you had most often, it'll get locked in with wrinkles. Trust me, I did this way too much. And I got them right here. My wife used to go like this to me. She'd go, you're doing it again. It's stuck now. I do it all the time. Can't help it. Even when I'm smiling, it's there. It's right there. Start now deciding, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to submit to being more like Him and His character. How are you doing on becoming on a scale of 1 to 5? Are you becoming more like Jesus? And then finally, Jesus grew in favor with men in His belonging. Right? So, we've talked about He grew in behaving. We talked about how He grew in believing and becoming and now belonging. Jesus grew in charis, in favor with men. He grew socially. So He grew mentally, physically, spiritually, and He grew socially. Jesus was not that weird loner prophet up on the mountain by Himself. He didn't live in a monastery. He lived out in the open. And everywhere, if you wanted to find Jesus, look for a crowd. That's where He was. And not satisfied just being in a crowd, he picked 12 disciples to be with Him 24/7. And when He told John to write those 7 letters to the churches in the book of Revelation, in one of those letters He said to the church, "Behold, I'm standing at the door of your house, and I'm knocking. And if you'll open that door, I'm not just going to come in. I'm going to come in and eat supper with you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens that door, I will come into him and sup with him," He said. Jesus wants to hang out with us. He wants to abide in us and us in Him. He's a belonger. He's not an isolator. Do you know a man who thinks that he's being a good husband and father because he works hard and brings home a paycheck, but he comes in and he feels like he deserves that 6-pack, and maybe he's worked hard and he does need to wet his thirst, but he sits down with his TV controller and his big screen TV and his 6-pack, and he doesn't give any relationship to his wife. Now, he was the one on a white horse whenever she married him, and he was talking to her and talking how sweet and pretty she was, but now that he's got her, he never talks to her. And he never talks to his kids except to yell at them and tell them to be quiet, that they're causing him to miss the game. He is not becoming more like Jesus. He might clean up and show up for church on Sunday, but he's a hypocrite. He's an isolationist. He has pulled away, and he's put only the things in his life are the things he can control, because you can't control relationships, friend. But Jesus lived out in the open. Because He came to reconcile us to God the Father, and to reconcile us not just to God the Father, but to be a reconciling force in the world, to reconcile us to the world and to each other. He came to make us part of God's family. I know a woman, maybe you know a woman like this too. She talks to her husband and she talks to her kids, but she works all the time and she never lets up. And she takes the joy out of all of her life by just work, 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 work. And her house looks more like a museum than a house, because everything is color coordinated and so perfect, and you can't let the kids mess it up. And she can't invite you over, so she can't offer hospitality because it's never quite ready for company. She's a good person. She shows up at church on Sunday, her lipstick and her shoes and her purse all match. But she's not growing more like Jesus relationally, because she will not open up her house. She will not be hospitable. How you doing in belonging? Are you becoming more like Jesus, living your life connected to others? Open house, open life, like that. On a scale of 1 to 5, are you isolating yourself? Or are you in a growing relationship with others? And here's a real strong one. Listen to this one. Do you have any unreconciled relationships in your life right now? Is there a brother, a sister, a mom, or a dad, a child, a coworker, a friend that you're not right with today? As far as it's up to you, be reconciled to them. Jesus calls us to grow in our belonging. Now listen, we're going to close. And we've taken this little test, and over the next 4 weeks, we're going to unpack how we can grow in these four areas. And I know this was a sober message. It had to be. Because we're serious about making disciples here. I'm serious as your pastor about, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to, when I get to be old, if there's anything left of me, I hope it's just Jesus and not Gary. I hope there's less of Gary and more of Jesus, and I hope you hope that for you too. How can we do that together? And how can we create an environment here at WCC where that stuff happens? Where we sharpen each other to grow more like Jesus. That's what I want. That's what I pray. But let me tell you something. You can't do it. What in the world? You told us all this stuff. We took notes. You can't do it. 1 Corinthians says this, I planted the seed. This is Paul speaking. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Listen, friends, you can cultivate the soil, you can water it, and you should do all those things. That's the part you can do. You can plant the seed, water it, you can read the word, you can pray, you can worship, you can give, you can develop these. But listen, only God can do the work in you. And all you're doing when you're reading is saying, God, here I am. Speak to me. And may I say this to you, when you pray that prayer and say, God, I'm not a very good reader. I have a hard time. I've always had a hard time reading, but God, I'm going to read your word. Will you speak to me? May I say to you, he'll do it. How long should I read, Gary? Read until he speaks. Maybe just a verse. Maybe a chapter. Maybe a book. Read until he speaks. He'll do the work. Lean towards him. Abide in Christ. Yield to it. As we close, I want you to think about these four categories one more time. In your believing, have you believed and received Christ? That's the beginning point. Have you decided to invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? Do you study God's Word? Have you signed up to read the Bible with us in the one-year Bible club this year? Perfect time of the year to join up. Put that on your card in just a minute. In your behavior, have you decided to entrust your finances to God and your habits to God, your addictions to God? In your becoming, are you abiding in Christ more and more? Are you seeing a growing change in your character, in your belonging? Maybe you're here today and you've been coming for a while. We've got a membership class later this month, Connect 101. You should sign up for it. Think about belonging. You should consider a community group that meets in a home during the week so you could be with a group of other believers. Be connected. Stop being isolated. Now I'm going to pray, and I want you to bow your heads right now, and I want us to get serious about answering this question about growing more like Jesus. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross, for being raised from the grave and living today. Lord, there are people here today that just need to say, come and live in me. I believe in you. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Come and change me. Save me. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. I want you to come and live in me and abide in me and help me to grow more like you. And that's where some of you are today. You just need to pray that prayer. Others are here today, and you're a believer. But as you've been considering these four areas, one or more of them, the Holy Spirit has really told you, you need to repent of some things. And you need to rededicate your life to yield to His work in you. Where's that at? What did the Holy Spirit tell you? Say something to Him right now. Say, I repent. Please forgive me. I want to lean more into what You're leading me to be. I want to be faithful. I want to be more like You, Lord. And I know I can't do it. I've tried and I've failed. Lord, You come and help me to break this old addiction, break this old habit. Lord, help me to start treating others right. Lord, restore this relationship that's broken. Lord, heal me in this area. Whatever it is, You name it. And we ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen.